Probably all of us have those passages that we've heard a million times. And it's not just that, you know, sometimes we read them too quickly or overlook them, but sometimes there's just passages we do not slow down long enough to digest fully. Maybe it's familiarity that makes us gloss over them. Maybe it's been the case that we've heard them too many times. Sometimes it's that we pick our favorite part, or we pick the part that's emphasized and we ignore the rest. Sometimes it might be a case where the language is a little bit foreign to us, or the image is a little bit antiquated to us, and so we don't catch it. That may be the case with part of Matthew 11, especially for some of our younger Christians. Jesus says, speaking from verse 28 on, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my load is light." We get the first part. We get the beautiful invitation, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden." We sing a song about it, use it as our invitation. And so it's familiar. But maybe at that point that we quit reading. "Come unto me, I'll give you rest." But what about the rest of the verse? What about the reference to a yoke? I know we live in the rural part of the world, in the South, and so it might be a little more familiar with us, but it's still not every day. First of all, he's talking about a yoke, not a yoke. It's not that yellow thing in the middle of your fried egg. This is a yoke. And probably for a good portion of us, and looking at ages, I'm going to probably say that less than half of us could conjure up a picture of a yoke in our minds. We're a couple of generations removed or more from such an image. There's not one hanging in the barn. A lot of our kids don't even know what a barn is, or what you keep there, or why it's there. And so this is a yoke. And if you don't have that in your mind when you read Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it doesn't mean anything to you. And if you've seen a picture of one, but you don't know what it's for, Matthew 11, 28 through 30 still doesn't mean a whole lot to you. So for those who are younger, and for those who are city, and for those of us who just have never stopped to find out about it, the yoke is used to join two working animals together. Our first impression might be that yoking two animals together would double their output. That would be logical, except that's not the case. You might be surprised to learn that two animals yoked together normally produce 2.5 to 3 times the power. A single draft horse can pull about 8,000 pounds. That's amazing enough. Give me 50 pounds and I've about had all the limit I want. I don't want to work that hard. Two draft horses together, however, can pull between 20 and 24,000 pounds. Man, that's a lot of work going on. Two draft horses yoked together can do in one load what a single horse would need 3 loads to accomplish. That's why it's important that we realize Matthew 11 doesn't stop with verse 28. That's why it's not just, "Come unto me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's why he goes on to say, "Hey, I'm going to invite you to wear my yoke." And so let's learn for a minute. Let's think about what I've just mentioned about a yoke. Let's think about what Jesus is saying. Number one, a yoke is made for two, not one. A double yoke on a single horse would be funny looking. It would be a burden. It would be an obstacle to the work. That horse is not going to get a whole lot done, and so you have to yoke that other animal beside it to get the work done. Jesus is offering His yoke. Jesus is offering a chance to work side by side with Him and to accomplish multiple times the work. We're not really that effective in the spiritual world because we are physical beings until we yoke ourselves to Jesus. Until we agree to walk side by side with the Master. Lesson number one in Matthew chapter 11 is we have to lock in with Jesus to get the work done. I'm not, like we were talking about this morning, or any other of the thousand times we've talked about spiritual work, I'm not going to get the work done. I'm not going to conquer the world. I'm not going to accomplish my goals. The church is not going to accomplish its goals if I try to do it by myself. So I've got to lock in. Let's continue to learn. It's for two, not one. Two animals yoked together have to learn to pull together. They have to learn to pull at the same time and in the same direction. If you've ever seen two animals yoked together that just really didn't care for each other, they're pulling in two different directions. One's trying to lay down while the other one's trying to pull. They're trying to lock horns. Any number of things can happen. Lesson number two, I cannot pull against Jesus. I cannot lay down in the yoke. If I'm going to effectively do the work that Jesus has for me, I have to find the work that He has for me, and I have to move in the exact same direction He is. Well, go back to the Gospels. What direction is He moving? I came to seek and save the lost. My mission is to do the will of the Father who sent me. Therefore, if that's the direction He's going right now, still in this world, that's the direction I have to go. I have to pull in the same direction as the Son of God to be effective. Number three, a yoke is for workers. It's easy to burn out when I work alone. It's easy to burn out when I work by myself, get tired. Keep reading. There's something absolutely fascinating, and it's a lot like what just happened with wage reading tonight, where as humans we separate some chapters, and yet what's going on in Acts 4 and what's going on in Acts 5 is the same story. So watch this. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My load is light. At that time, not 6 months later, not sometime totally disconnected, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath through the grain fields, and His disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to Him, "Behold, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath." And you can go ahead and read all the way down through verse 8. Jesus responds, you know, have you forgotten your own stories? You know, what did David do when he was hungry? How he went into the temple? Are you confused about the Sabbath? I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, that it's meant for your good. So on. What I want you to see is the religious leaders are whining. The religious leaders are complaining about the disciples. And the contrast very easily is workers versus sitters. Jesus has just offered a yoke to those who are willing to go to work. The Pharisees aren't willing to work, so they're going to sit and they're going to pull faces and they're going to complain and they're going to point out fault and they're going to whine. Workers don't have time to do that because workers are... they're working. They're busy. The yoke is for someone who's willing to break a sweat. It's for someone who's willing to put in the time. the Pharisees, they're not accepting the yoke, and so they're going to devote themselves to finding fault with Jesus, finding fault with his followers. But I also want you to notice in that, that Jesus comes to the defense of his disciples. That's a whole lot about what's going on in Matthew 11 and 12. The lesson, number three, is the benefit of being yoked to Jesus is immediate and it's obvious. When we take the yoke, like the disciples had done, and go to work with him, he will come to our rescue. He will defend us. Basically, to paraphrase chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, he looks at the Pharisees and he says, "Hush. You have no idea what you're talking about. My guys are working. You're sitting. Leave them alone. Jesus will come to our rescue." All right, go back to 28 through 30. "Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. It's light." How? When you start talking about work, where's the easy part? We're talking about working in the kingdom. Where's the easy part? It's easy because he's the source of the power in this relationship. Now then, you put two animals in the yoke, they're supposed to pull equally. Spiritually, I cannot pull what Christ can pull. He's the power in my life. He is the power source for me spiritually, and he's really the power source for me physically. He's the power source for anything and everything I'm ever going to accomplish. Lesson four, it's a lot easier than working alone. That's why Jesus can say, take the yoke, and even though it means work, it's easy and it's light. It's a lot easier than carrying my own burden by myself. It's a lot easier than carrying my own sin. It's a lot lighter than carrying the law. You get that? Come to me. You know, I'm going to offer you something different. I'm going to offer you relief. I'm going to offer you rest. I'm going to offer you something that's light. Chapter 12, the Pharisees are there with the heaviness of the law. You can't do this on the Sabbath, and you can't do that on the Sabbath. You can't do this, and you can't do that. And Jesus says, you don't have to make it that hard. Let me make it easier for you. Let me offer you grace. Let me offer you mercy. Here's the conclusion. Yoked is the way to go. We want to survive. We want to succeed. We want to be successful in our Christian lives. Yoked to Jesus is the way to go. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 paints the image of what? If you're cold, find a friend to lay down next to. Two together can stay warm. If you're weak, what? Those two or three strands, when they're woven together, become much stronger. Now then, you take that image and you put it in Matthew 11 with Jesus. This life can break me if I try to do it by myself. Satan can get to me if it's a one-on-one battle. But when there's two or three, when I'm yoked to Jesus, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Satan's going to flee from your presence. It's not so easy. What about when I add somebody else to the mix? So I've locked in next to Jesus, and then I lock in with another faithful Christian. I'm a much harder target for Satan. Get a lot more done. Not only lock in, pull with him, not against him. God has somewhere that he wants to lead you this year. He has some job he wants you to do. He has some particular area in your life that he wants you to grow. Let him lead. Give him the reins. Follow. Pull with him. Pull with each other. We're called to a unity of purpose. We're called to a unity of faith. Work. Don't sit. And let Him provide the power to exceed, do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or imagine. And here's another challenge for you in your Bible study this year. Just because you don't understand it the first time you read it, don't skip it. Don't skip the things that don't necessarily come easily. You could be missing something great. You know, if you had no idea the first time you read Matthew 11, what a yoke was, and you didn't stop to ask or stop to find out, you just went on to 12 and then on to 13, you missed a tremendous blessing of working side by side with the Savior and accomplishing great things, and doing it much easier than trying to do it by yourself. Don't take the easy way out when it comes to your study. Dig. Find the answers. If you're not yoked to Jesus tonight, why not? Why are you fighting this fight by yourself? Why are you doing the work by yourself? Why are you trying to pull against Him or to lay down in the yoke? Come to Jesus. He's offering you rest. He's offering you the ability to work in His kingdom and to get a lot done. Come obey the gospel. If you're a child of God and for whatever reason you've been fighting the yoke, you haven't been working, or you've been pulling in the wrong direction, come home. So we stand and sing.